So far we've discussed the natural process of Yerusha, the Lechukas Mishpat, the Chelek HaPosho, the Chelek HaBechoro. We've also discussed in which cases a person can divert, can, so to speak, steer away from the natural Seyed HaYerusha and create his own distribution of his assets after he passes away. When it would be frowned on, what would be the reasons that it would be mutter even l'chatchilo. We also discussed the proper way that a person sets up a will. A proper way to set up a will, that is, that the kinyan could be chal lahalocha in a way which does not violate the dina yerusha. What would be if a person actually writes a tzavo? A person wrote a will, and he did not set it up either with his chayvus that we discussed previously. He didn't make any kinyan. He wrote a will. Person writes a secular will. And now the Yerushim, maybe the person was uninformed as to the ramifications of Hilchos Yerusha. He thought if you write it in a will, the Torah recognized that will, but Hilchos Yerusha is only if there's no will, which is the normal perception of things, that so to speak, a will is only in place, the laws of inheritance in the secular system, the laws of inheritance are in place if a person doesn't write a will. Maybe a person thought that that was the case according to halacha. Also, what would be if a person writes a will? With the will, would and should the will be honored by the Yorshim? Or the Yorshim have no, normally the sons, have no obligation whatsoever to give the money to distribute the assets of the father in the way that the father mandated in his will, being that that will does not have the halachic power of a kinyan mechayim, which would divert all those assets from Hilchos Yerusha. So the Mishnah Ksubis Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis tells us, Mashlish Mois Lebitoy. A person can, there's a term in halacha which is called Hashlosha, Miloshin Sholosh, otherwise known as giving it to a third party. A person could put in escrow, could give to a third party money for his daughter, and then after he dies, that money will be given over by his daughter. And the Gemara says, this is based on the concept, which is paskind in halacha, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. The Gemara says that since the money was entrusted mechayim, even though money that's given to a third party, there was no hakno, there's no financial transfer of the assets to his daughter, since the money was given in escrow, mechayov, to a third party to be given over on receipt of death to his daughter, the halacha is that setup, that transaction is legally binding, and the Yoshim do not have a right to take that money away, and the third party, the lawyer, whoever is holding on to the money in escrow, has to give over the money to the daughter. Tosfos asks the obvious question. Since the father expressed b'chayov that this is his will, we're talking over there, it happens to be we're talking about somebody who's before he died. Tosfos says, why did Chazal have to institute, or even somebody who wasn't dying, but why did Chazal have to institute for somebody who was on his deathbed, halachas of matn shchivra that we discussed a few shiurim ago, matn shchivra mitzav machmas misa. If there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, and the wishes of the deceased have to be honored as to the distribution of his possessions, and Bezdin will enforce that money which is held in an escrow account will be given to the daughters, why did Chazal have to institute a new procedure, a new process for people that are sick that they can give over the nechassim without a kinyan? If a verbal declaration is enough to create a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, you don't need more than that. The mahalach of Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos, a long Tosfos in Ksubis Daf Samach Tes, in Gittin Daf Yudalid, in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Mem Tes, which are the places in Shas where distribution of a person who gave away money before he died to be given over after he died is discussed. In those three places, Tosfos says, B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, and this is also the opinion of the Rambam and the Rimagash, and it's accepted, Lahalocha, in Shulchan Aruch HaShem Mishpat Simen Reish Nun Beis, that the only way that mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames kicks into effect, the only way that there's a binding obligation of the Yorshim, and Bezdin will honor where the father, where the deceased says he wants his money to go, And the Yorshim will not have recourse to that money and be able to refuse to honor their father's request is only when the money was actually given over to a third party. That means the case in the Mishnah that's discussed in the Mishnah of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames is discussing money that was given over to a third party account. It was given in escrow to a lawyer. It was given to a shliach to send to somebody, and then the person died before the money was actually handed over. So even though there was no kinyan performed bechayov, the Gemara says over there, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. But when a person is dying, he's on his deathbed, he's being wheeled into open heart surgery, and all his money is where it is, he doesn't have time to set up a third party account, he doesn't have time to go home and then write out a check and hand it over to a shliach to give to somebody who he wants to give money to, he doesn't have time to set up any financial vehicle, he's lying in bed, over there will not be a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. The Yoshim can refuse to honor the father's request, and therefore in order to enforce the father's wishes, not in order to enforce the honored father's wishes, but in order to ensure him being able to successfully give over, to transfer his assets to the beneficiaries of his choosing, the halacha will be that a sick person has recourse to mitzvah machmas misa in order to protect his peace of mind, that he should be able to deal with his assets in a calm and orderly way while he's sick. He shouldn't get worse. Shalai titarav daita. So, lahalocha, this is very important, the mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames that Beis Din will enforce is in truth only when money was given over to a third party account. Therefore, if a person just made a verbal declaration, a verbal will of sorts, and he didn't actually transfer in a legal way the money, the halocha is that there is no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. This is the halocha in Shulchan Aruch. What's interesting is that there are other terutzim to this kasha. Again, the concept that hashlosha is a necessary prerequisite. Giving over these assets to a third party, giving over control of these assets to a third party is a necessary prerequisite to the din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. There's a mitzvah to honor the requests of the deceased is only when it's given over to a third party. The other Rishonim have different mahalchim to answer this question. The Ramban and his Talmidim, the Ro, the Ritva, the Rajba brings this, say a different mahalach. They say that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is only where the deceased said his request straight to his yarshim. Person is, before he goes, tells his children that he wants $100,000 of his assets to be given to tzedakah. He tells it to his son. The son is mechuyiv to honor his father's request. Beis Din will force the son to hand over the $100,000. However, when the request was not given over to the son, it's very common that a person leaves over a will. What he does is he writes a will, he seals an envelope, he hands it over to a lawyer. He never said b'chayov, he never gave over his request to his yarshim, to his son. Over there, the yarshim, since they didn't hear it from the father, the request was not given over to them directly, it was only given via third party, from a lawyer, normally after Shiva, they open up the will, they read it. That type of being mitzaveh, bonov, does not have the binding force of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. That is the mahalach of other rishonim. A third mahalach, which is discussed, seems to be the mahalach of the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is not a kinyan. It's a chiyuv for the yorshim to honor the requests of their father. However, there's no kinyan. Beis Din cannot force the yorshim to honor the father's request. The Ramah, the Mordechai says that if the sons were to go against the father's wishes, and they were to sell those assets before transferring them to somebody else, mechre kayim. A father said that he wants his car to be given to a certain tzedakah. He says that he wants his house to be given to his almona. The sons come quickly after Shiva, they take the deed, they quickly sell the house within the week. There's nothing you can do about it. Farfallen. It's over. There's nothing you can do about it. You cannot force the sons, and the sale will not be rendered null and void. It would seem that the Mordechai holds that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is not a rabbinic kinyan, a transfer of assets. It's a personal and moral obligation that the sons have to their father to honor their father's last request. However, they're not mechuyiv in terms of dinei mominis. So that's why the Mordechai would have another teretz to this kasha. The reason why Chazal instituted mitzvah machmas misa And Matnas Chivra is in order to ensure that the sons will have to comply with their father's wishes. If it would be only up to the vehicle of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes, you wouldn't be able to force the sons to listen to their father's wishes. What's interesting is that even though all these three are given in response to the same kasha of Taisvis, all three of them are brought l'halocha. As we said, the Shulchan Aruch brings the clause of Ashlosha, of the assets that were given over with the L'kayim Divrei HaMes, is only when the assets were given over to a third-party account and such. The Shach and the Sma in Siman Reish Nun Beis on the halochis of Mitzvah L'kayim Divrei HaMes bring the teretz of the other Rishonim there. It's only when the mitzvah, when the command was given over directly to the Yoshim. It's very interesting. How could both terutzim be true? The Ramah in Reish Nun Beis, despite the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says that Mitzvah L'kayim Divrei HaMes is only ba'ashlosha, which would seem to indicate that there's a kinyan, the Ramah brings the Mordechai that if the Yoshim sell those assets and they don't honor the request of their father, Masha Osui, and Bezin cannot force the sale to be voided, the sale is chal, and therefore the Bezin will not force the children to hand over those assets. Which seems to be a problem. The Rishonim, when they discuss Hashlosha, would seem to indicate that there's a kinyan. The assets, by being given over to a third party, the deceased is in actuality on receipt of death, transferring those assets to the party that he designated as beneficiary. On the other hand, the Mordechai, which we have in the Ramah doesn't seem to argue with the Mechaber on this score of Ashlosha. The Ramah would seem to indicate there's no kinyan. All there is a moral and personal obligation on the party of the Yoshim to honor their father's request. It seems to be that the Mechaber, in this, taking all the shittas that the authors of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, the Ramah, and the Shach Sma, seem to have an original approach to the issue of Hashlosha. And here I'd like to say over that there's two mahalchim in the Kadmoinim of what is the difference if something is handed over to a third party. If a kinyan was not performed and the assets were not legally transferred to the rishus of the beneficiary, the way we said that a yerusha should be set up, a tzavod, there should be a matona mechayim, or a hischaivus mechayim. So why does it make a difference? And if there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei HaMes, why does it make a difference that there's ashlosh or not? The Machne Ephraim in Hilchos Chiyah, Simon Chof Tes and Simon Lamed, and the Machne Ephraim is brought la'alocha by the two classic late 19th century poskim, the Shoyel Umeshiv, the Lemberger Rov, Rabbi Yosef Shol, as well as the Masham Mibrijan, also one of the Gedolei HaPoskim in the late 19th century. Both of them bring the Machne Ephraim la'alocha. The Machne Ephraim says that there's a double halacha, a dichotomy, so to speak, in the halacha of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes. And the Machne Ephraim says like this. The Machne Ephraim says that true, the Mechaber holds that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes is only when the Nechosim were actually transferred to the Rishus of a third party. The Machne Ephraim says that's the only time a kinyan is affected on behalf of the beneficiary. Meaning to say, if the assets were still in the Rishus of the deceased at his time of death, despite the fact, as the Ramah, B'Shem the Mordechai says, that there is a personal obligation, not a monetary obligation, but a personal obligation on the part of the Yoshim to hand over those Nechosim, kifi, the wishes of their father, the wishes of their Moirish. However, the Nechosim do not belong, since they were in the Rishus of the deceased, they do not belong to the beneficiary. However, when Mechayim, the Nechosim, were handed over to a third party, at time of death, that third party is, so to speak, koina, is zoicha on behalf of the party who is holding on to those assets for. And therefore, if the Yoshim would want to take that house, which is being held in escrow by a lawyer, they would want to take the contents of that bank account, which is under escrow, and they would want to sell it, Bezdin would say the money doesn't belong to you. At time of death, the money was already transferred into the reshus of the beneficiary of the wishes of the father. So therefore, we have a dual identity in Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes. Stage one, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMes is mechayiv the Yoshim to honor the request of their father. Again, you can't force them if they sell the Nechosim, Masha Osui Osui. However, if those Nechosim were already transferred to a third party, At time of death, the third party is koina on behalf. This, the holding power of the third party is such that he's koina, is considered as to be holding on to those nechasim for the beneficiary of the rotzen ha'av, of the wishes of the deceased. Therefore, all the shittas are true. The Ramah is telling us that the moral obligation, the personal obligation of the Yorish, which is not a matona, which is not a kinyan, which is only an obligation, is true only insofar as there's no hashlosha. And the Shach and the Sma are right in pointing out that that moral obligation is only incumbent on the person of the Yorish only insofar as he was told those instructions himself. If there was a letter left over in a lawyer's office, I didn't hear it from my father, I'm not mechuyev. However, if the nechasim were given over to a third party, there will be an automatic transfer of the assets to the party of the beneficiary without the Yorshim's goodwill, because there's an automatic schiyah on behalf of the third party. And this brings us to a very important issue. We started the shiur with a question: what happens if somebody writes a secular will, and that secular will is not backed up by any of the vehicles, the kinyan, mechayim shoachas koidim moisoi, with a tnai, with his chayvis that we discussed in the previous year. A person was not uninformed, he was ignorant of what the halacha expects of him, he left over a secular will. Can, in actuality, can we use that secular will to force the Yorshim al mitzvah, because of mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames? The Shulchan Aruch says mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames is only when there's hashlosha. Reb Chaim Oizer in a tshuva in the Achiezer, and Reb Moshe in Igris Moshe, issue a landmark psak. They say that since when a person writes a secular will, he is giving the law of the land, the koyach, right? When a person writes up a will, the secular court system will not recognize the demands of halacha, and they'll hand over the assets, kefi, mashakosuv betzavo, they'll honor the contents of the will, they will enforce the will with their system. That has the binding power of a hashlosha. The same way when a person hands over something to a third party, that has binding power to force the Yorshim to recognize the beneficiaries of the father's bequest, despite the fact that there was no matan mechayim. The same will be true if the father wrote a secular will, which is recognized, which is a legal will, based on the secular court system. He writes it with a notarized will, with a lawyer, etc., etc. That will have the koyach of hashlosha. However, I believe that their psak, their chiddush, is based on one's understanding of Ashlosha. The Ravosh in a tshuva in Siman Reish Zayin says that the hesber of the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam, the Rimigash, that demand Ashlosha in order to facilitate the requirement of mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames, is because when a person just verbally declares something, we don't see necessarily that he means it with a strong enough will that should be binding on his Yorshim. It's only when he actually does something. Actions speak louder than words. When a person's dying, a dead man or a person that's on the verge of dying doesn't play any jokes, he's not kidding around. When he says he wants money to be given, we accept that as law, we give over the nechosim mitzvah machmas misa. But as far as mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames is concerned, says the Rivosh, it has to be backed up with an action. It can't be just a verbal declaration. Therefore, the money has to be handed over. Based on that, Reb Moshe and Reb Chaim Oizer, and this is also the psak of the Rav of London, Rav Padova, the former Gaivit of London, they all say that a secular will, which is recognized as law by the secular court system, will back up the verbal declaration of the father with the toikif, with the legal power of a hashlosha, and there will be an incumbent mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames on the Yorshim to honor the father's request. However, there's an alternative pshat to this to the din of hashlosha. The Marit in Choshe Mishpot, Simen Tzadik Hei, says that the reason why the Rishonim say that the only time there's mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames is hashlosha is because that's the only time a kinyan is affected. A person can't be koina if it's in the dead man's possession. A kinyan cannot be affected on behalf of a beneficiary. If it's handed over to somebody else, he's zoicha for the third party. It would seem, the way we're explaining based on the Machne Ephraim, that the Mechaber and the Ramon and the Shach and the Sma went with that Hasbara in the Din of Hashlosha. Hashlosha is not just a stronger level of willpower. Hashlosha denotes that now the Kinyan could be affected. And that's why there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, which is incumbent on the yoshim even without hashlosha. Because we accept la'alocha that there's enough of a incumbent chiyuv on the yoshim despite the fact that there was no hashlosha. But a kinyan is only when it's biyad shlish. So therefore, there's no reason to assume that the binding power of a court system will have the koyach of hashlosha. In which case, there might be a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames insofar as the moral obligation of the yoshim is concerned, but to be able to force the yoshim to hand over those nechosim, l'chayr no kinyan was performed because it was not biyad shlish, despite the fact that the beneficiary has the secular power of the power of the secular will on his side. It's very possible that there would not have a kinyan, there would not be a power of a kinyan to back up the hashlosha, and therefore no kinyan would be affected. We would not be able to bezdin, would not be able to force the yoshim to honor the requests of the deceased man. So again, we discussed the halacha of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, the three terutzim of the rishonim, and I'd like to add one more point. Reb Kiva Eger says that even when there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, there's still an outstanding obligation of kibud av v'em. Incidentally, as an aside, Reb Kiva Eger points out that even though the mitzvah of kibud av v'em is mishel av, we pass in the Gemara Kedushin daf lamed beis daf lamed gimel that mitzvah kibud av is when a child is taking care of a parent, the parent is the one that foots the bill. Over here, one could argue that since now the child owns the assets, it's mishel ben. That's not true. Since the ben only now got the nechosim from the parent, it's still considered mishel av insofar as arguing the wishes of the parent is concerned. However, this is not a chiv deraisa because mitzvah's kibud av mideraisa is only while the parent is alive. But there is a moral obligation for a child who wants to do the right thing for his parents to honor even the request of a secular will. However, in order not to rely on goodwill of children, as we discussed, and children very often could have their own cheshbonis, have their own reasons for not honoring the request of the parent, if they felt that it wasn't justified, or felt that they felt that that decision was biased, or based on mistaken impression of what the children was or should be. The best way is obviously to set up a matan mechaim in the way that we discussed in the previous year. One more point, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, the Pesukim say, is not only a financial halacha. The same is true if a parent leaves over a tzavah to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The children are mechuyev to honor that request despite the fact that it costs a lot more money than burial in Chutz La'aretz. The same is true if parents leave over a request for what to write on a matzeva, on a tombstone. The children are mechuyev, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, are mechuyev to honor that request because of their moral obligation. Obviously, it's not a financial halacha, but they're mechuyev to honor that request because of the mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. We find that the big people of previous generations, gedolim of all the generations, left over in a tzavah for their children not only financial instructions, how to distribute their assets, but they also left over their spiritual last will and testament. And this is really the proper course for all Torah Jews who want to leave their children not only a legacy of financial wealth, but also a legacy of their spiritual accomplishments. The right thing to do is for a parent to write in his tzavah. He might leave over a separate tzavah for that to be read by the children, to behave in the ways that to follow in the practices and paths of the parents and grandparents. And this is, as we see, this was the practice of Gedolim throughout the ages, and it's moral and it's proper for such a minig to be continued by anybody who's leaving over financial wealth. He should also leave over spiritual wealth to his children, because the children are the hemshich of their parents in continuing not only being yerush the financial assets of the parents, but also in continuing the spiritual drachim, the spiritual paths, ways, practices, and beliefs of their parents.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havad Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.